You made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to share rules, norms, and respect, we're not obligated to even consider your opinion anymore, because the social contract is that important to civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the worshiping Dionysus man, sipping on some science today, welcoming any new listeners just joining us. We hope you're here to have a good time. I know that's what we're here to do. If everybody stays tuned to the end of the show, we're going to be talking about the easy trick florists are using to get out of parking tickets, and cops are furious. As always, I'm joined by some fine and fascinating guests in the lounge today. We've got Amber, my sister, who loves that woo-woo and thinks she's always right, too. Dear sister, how are you doing today?
Oh, I've been moving all weekend. I am not sure I'm going to be very fascinating today.
Oh, that's okay. I think you're fascinating every day, but that's more in a clinical sense.
Ooh, is that
I love
good?
You too, bro. Yeah. We're pulling out the big guns right away.
He's not holding back today.
Oh, and I also hear Jamie Lynn, the druidess, who's just so damn good at this. How are you doing today, my love?
I'm doing fantastic, using all my fantasticness before I go to work.
Aw, well, I'm glad you're giving it all to us.
Well, I can't. You didn't even tee that up for me to insult you. What's going on here? Come on.
Yeah, I'm just
Amber,
too good at
Amber's
this.
On top of it. Yeah, you're just too good. All right. We have a really fun and informative show for everyone today, brought to you by Happy Fun Ball by Global Chemical Limited. Now, with more unknown glowing substance.
Hey.
We're gonna take a quick look back at the death of Genghis Khan, everybody's favorite Khan, the OG Khan, the original Genghis.
The OG.
We've got some hot science news. There's been a new study showing which groups show partisan leniency toward their own. We're going to be looking at the fact that we could be facing another banana extinction. That's right, another banana extinction.
Wait, another one?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know there was a first one.
We'll talk about that too. They go together. And we're going to discuss the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs being a lot more rare than we realized. There's some bullshit and snake oil going on with energy bills in Louisiana.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, we'll play a rousing rendition of Fact-Checking Time. It's going to involve beer, billionaires, and semen. So, as you can tell, I really teed up
my
a good one there.
Three favorite things.
Three
favorite things.
And, of course, we're going to wrap things up.
I mean, I don't drink beer, but I'm...
Ayo! All grown up now. we're going to wrap things up with a feel-good story about the newly negotiated drug price cuts for Medicare that are going to save $6 billion for people people on the ground in the first year alone. That's some amazing stuff. We do encourage everyone
to
reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com, or maybe you want to text us a message at 443-499-8253. You could also call in and leave a voicemail. I'll allow it. Please don't hesitate to drop us a comment on one of our social media platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're on some of them. We're not on others that dare not be named. But
might know how to use some of them.
Yeah, I'm not stuck in the 90s. You are. All right. Speaking of the 90s, we ready to start this shindig and hop in the time machine?
Let's get in.
Woo-hoo, let's go.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in a time machine.
All right. Genghis motherfucking Khan. I believe that was his given name.
I'm pretty sure.
He died, I think it was like August 18th, somewhere between August 18th and 25th in 1227, We don't know because they kind of kept a lot of the details secret. Now, Genghis Khan,
I think they hit
was
him.
Well, oh yeah, yeah. We don't even know where he's buried today. It's all it's all secret. They actually killed people that were like just walking down the road and saw the funeral procession.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Could you imagine
no one's desecrating
like,
that grave?
You're chatting with your neighbor, right? You're foraging for some vegetables.
In the
and, hey,
yeah.
Look at those. Look at that. I wonder who that
wonder
funeral procession is for. It's pretty big.
Zing by now.
You would think if they really wanted to hide him, they wouldn't have a big procession.
Well,
with all those countless, needless deaths.
Honestly, we don't know how big the procession is because they killed everybody. But it was at least big enough to kill the people that saw it along the way, but not so big that entire cities would see it. For being scientific.
Jesus.
It was between these two sizes. So he grew the Mongol Empire. I think a really good argument could be made that he's the greatest conqueror the Earth has ever seen, not Alexander
yes.
the Great.
No.
I feel like Genghis Khan had it over him.
Mm-hmm. He almost united the entire European continent, Russia, Mongolia, like all of that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and it's really fascinating. I really suggest the Dan Carlin Hardcore History. He does like 6 to 12 hours, so really long, in depth stuff on the Mongols and Genghis Khan. But the big recap is no one could fight like the Mongol horde.
Yep.
No one. Mm. It just there was nobody like it. With the caveat being. Even Mongols couldn't fight as good as the Mongol horde. And what I mean by that is those who grew up in the harsh steppe plains were untouchable warriors. Once Genghis Khan had conquered cities and the Mongols inhabited them, the Mongols born and raised in those cities
couldn't
fight like the Mongol horde from the steppe.
Isn't that crazy?
Suburbia kills you every damn time. Well, if the huge difference is when you're living on the steppe, you're riding horses from birth.
Mm-hmm.
You're firing bows and arrows from the time you're 3 and 4. It's like some of the earliest tools they were teaching them to use. They were literally giving their toddlers tiny bow and arrows to start shooting.
Right.
So by the time you get... Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say they were nomadic, so you had a lot of self-survival out on those steppes. You took down your hut, you built it back up again. You don't do that so much in a city.
Everything on horseback, move the whole town overnight, boom, boom, boom. So if those that grew up on the steppe, and women included, by the way, this was not just the men. Like, everyone was expected to shoot their bow really, really expertly and ride a horse really expertly. So they had this whole society of people who could be riding in a full gallop and fire an arrow accurately, which if you've ever ridden a horse in full gallop is amazing.
Right. Like,
doing anything with accuracy, riding that horse is a challenge.
Just riding the horse is a challenge to me.
Like, yeah,
getting on the damn thing.
Let go of the right. Yeah, it would be in production for sure.
Genghis and his crew developed a tactic that was effective all over the world, and it was the "Oh, you're winning! I'm gonna run away" technique. And the Mongols would fake that they were in distress and losing, and start to ride off. And then whoever they were fighting would start to chase them. At which point, they'd let them stretch out from the group, and then they just all turn around and start firing their bows from horseback, riding backwards now at the people chasing them, and just decimate them.
And still firing their bows and arrows.
Yeah, they just
it's really
just,
phenomenal.
They really, it was really special. At one point, one of his generals was actually sent to Europe
and had a couple battles there and had great success, but you know, had to go back. They couldn't, it was too far. They couldn't get a toehold because of the distance. Yeah. Anyway, so over the years, this guy, Genghis Khan, he builds this giant empire, takes over so much of the planet. It's ridiculous. Apparently, I don't remember the percentage, but a large percentage of people in the world today are descended from him, because everywhere he went, he impregnated people. He personally.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's one way to conquer the world.
Right. It's estimated 1 in 200 men worldwide could be a direct descendant.
Wow.
There's some family history for you.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he really was prodigious. And then his kids were prodigious and then so on. So we get the idea though that so there's a point where Genghis Khan was fighting an uprising in Western Shia. The Mongols had been fighting them for more than 20 years, and he went there to fight and died. Oof. We don't know how. History has given us a few different ways that have floated around that probably misinformation. But those classical methods were that he fell off a horse while riding, which
seems unlikely.
I mean, he was in his 60s. He was older, but falling off a horse. An arrow hit him in the leg, and he bled out. Hmm. What were some of the other ones here? The arrow in battle, the horse riding. Some people have said that he captured a Tangut princess to take as a concubine, and she had a small dagger hidden on her and poisoned him when he went to you know, do his thing.
What thing?
When he went to rape her?
His Genghis Khan thing. Well, I mean, I think we can assume it was probably rape. The legend said she did it in revenge for the destruction of her people. So we can assume it's probably rape. Yeah.
Well, and there's probably a lot of angry ladies at that point. So
I imagine so.
I apologize for my euphemism. I didn't want to make the conversation about how awful the world has been for women from the dawn of time.
There's also a suggestion that it could have been plague, I believe. I think plague and fever or poisoning.
Let's not leave out, one legend states he was struck by lightning during a storm.
Okay.
Which is a pretty firm, if that happened, that's a pretty firm sign of the supernatural, because some Mongol legends attribute his death to a curse or even supernatural intervention. Anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. His whole life, they thought, was magical.
Maybe he had the plague, which gave him a fever, because she stabbed him, which allowed the germs to really take
propagate.
Hold. And then he was out in the storm trying to get relief from the fever.
Wow, Amber.
Struck by lightning.
I like love that.
I mean, it could be.
I'm going
with
it.
It could be all of them.
I love it. Well,
wow.
There was a paper done in 2021 that examined his death from a historic medical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to do a complete reassessment of all available evidence. And they say the most likely clinical scenario is bubonic plague.
Oh, okay. Ooh. That's where I've heard that.
Yeah. The study was done a couple of years ago, but it looked at everything they possibly could. And basically what it comes down to is the Mongols were fighting the bubonic plague at the time.
Jeez.
Right?
Wow.
There you go. Why do you need to look to lightning?
Telling you.
And in Mongolian culture, the king's corpses retained their divine power after death. So they would, that's why they would bury him unmarked.
Right.
Highly that's protected, impractical places.
Right.
Particularly where on mountainsides where they were thought to be closer to their final destination, heaven. Let's give them a better shot at getting up there.
A little extra boost.
But they could
have
cremated him.
Don't have to climb as far.
They also could have just put him in a pit in a field.
Right.
They could.
I mean, if they're trying to hide him, they're gonna, you know, do something we wouldn't expect, or the people wouldn't expect, right?
Yeah.
Boy, can you imagine if you were the one to find?
That'd be trippy.
Resting area. That would be the coolest discovery.
That'd be pretty damn freaking amazing.
They also rely.
Kind of makes me want to go grab a shovel and head over to Mongolia.
I think you're gonna need more than a shovel, Amber.
You know what? I've often wondered if, like, the local people don't know. They're just like, yeah, you don't get to know that if you're not Mongolian.
One of us.
You know, I forget what the thing is, but there's some great Mongol, maybe it's their lineage or something, but there was some great records that only the true Khans have or something. Do you know what I'm talking about, Dan? I don't know if it came up in any of your research, but there's, like, some secret stuff that they keep.
There is, yeah, they have their own written record.
Yes.
That only they get to look at. That does exist. And as far as I know, historians don't have access to those writings.
Yeah, no, they safeguard that.
Cool that they haven't, like, that somebody hasn't sold out already, you know? Like, in this work day and age where everything is for sale, it's actually pretty cool that if they do have this knowledge, and obviously they have some sort of hidden secret knowledge that they don't share with the world. It's pretty awesome that somebody hasn't, like, sold it to the highest bidder already.
That we know of.
It's only available to, like, the royal lines. It's not available
to the open. Purely through the Khans.
So at this point, it would be like, oh, yeah, the Vanderbilts have a diary they pass along to the male heirs, right? Like, of course we're not going to see that.
Right.
But, you know.
But the people who need to will be able to.
Those in the lineage. All right. Anyhow, I found it fascinating that we got to a point where we can, through medical texts, like they were, this paper's fascinating. They went through like Chinese physicians that worked with the Mongols at the time. They pieced it all together. I will post.
Put in the notes. I want to read it.
Link to that paper titled Genghis Khan's Death, an Unsolvable Riddle or Simply a Pandemic Disease.
Interesting.
Right. For now, we got to get back to a time where the Mongols aren't in charge of the planet, clearly.
We'd have a lot more
horses.
If it's a better place.
Yeah, maybe we should just stay.
No, Amber, we'll be pillaged. We'll be pillaged.
Hey, for all the bad things that came with conquering, it should be noted Genghis Khan was very much a live and let live. Like, okay, you're conquered. Mm-hmm. I rule you now, but whatever religion you're doing, yeah, do that.
Keep your religion. Yeah.
Keep doing what you were doing, but now you pay taxes to me. That's it.
And I am going to take all your good-looking women.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
And maybe a few of the others,
even if
too.
Only for a night.
Maybe.
If only
just
for
gotta
a
sow
night.
Those seeds. No biggie.
I mean, really is a brilliant plan to conquer the world.
Right? So you see.
You get to have fun.
Yeah, I think that's why the Mormons are like, keep having babies, and the Catholics are like, keep having babies. And the Muslims are like, keep having babies.
You might not be wrong there. We laugh, but yeah.
It's not wrong.
There's some truth there.
All right. Let's oh, let's get back to a time where women's sexual health and freedoms and liberties aren't taken for granted. Wait. Oh, shit. Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
There's no time.
How far into the future do you think we need to go?
when does the sun go nova?
Oh, geez.
Pretty
I'll have to look that up. It's in my other journal.
All right.
Let's take some time.
Let's talk about some news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
So, a recent study published in American Politics Research looked to try and figure out how voters respond to politicians committing moral transgressions. That would be something like, you know, adultery, fraud, deceit.
Oh, transgression of a moral nature.
Yes.
You said moral transgressions, and I'm like, I don't think there is a transgression that is moral, but you mean transgressions against morals.
Yes.
See, my brain is not
always
working.
Right. No, that sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, I am always right.
So,
anyway,
the two authors of the paper, which was called, what was the paper called? Partisan Differences in Voters' Desire for Punishment in Response to Politicians' Moral Transgressions. Authored by a guy named David Redlosk and Anne-Marie Walter. To quote them, we began with studies in the U.S. that examined whether the moral foundations people hold influenced their emotional responses to transgressive politicians. We found that while deeply held moral values do anchor some level of emotional response, partisanship seems to play a stronger role. Moral foundations seem to be malleable rather than foundational when partisanship is involved. The latest paper expands this work by looking at a different outcome, the desire to punish politicians for moral transgression. Where our focus on emotions is about how voters feel, this paper looks at what action or punishment voters believe should be taken against such politicians. We measure desire to punish with a set of potential actions that might be taken, from requiring an apology to restoring damage caused, getting a warning from a party leader, and being reported to authorities to being removed from office. So they did this study. They carried the study out on the last month of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. The sample, they got 2,997 people. Now, each person got randomly assigned a short vignette describing a fictional scenario, but realistic, where a politician commits a moral transgression. They were based on the moral foundations theory that outlines the five moral principles: care, fairness, loyalty, authority, and sanctity. They added a social norm violation to for a baseline comparison. And then they also varied in terms of the politician's partisan label, some being Democrats, some being Republicans, some having no party affiliate. So the transgressions, they included mocking a constituent with mental health issues, which is a care violation, giving a job preference to supporters, a fairness violation, praising a neighboring town over the other, loyalty violation, disregarding safety regulations during a disaster, an authority violation, engaging in a sexual relationship with a teenager, a sanctity violation. The social norm violation involved a politician carrying briefing papers in a plastic grocery bag.
Oh my
god. Then everybody scored it on their scale, and the results showed that Republican and Democratic voters differ in their desire to punish politicians for moral transgressions.
When
the perceived severity of a moral violation was low, Republicans exhibited a stronger desire to punish than Democrats. However, this punitive desire was significantly reduced if the transgressor was a member of their own party.
Wow.
Fuck. Like, we all know this, but fuck.
Still.
In contrast, Democratic voters demonstrated a higher overall desire to punish politicians for moral violations, particularly when the perceived severity was moderate to high. Notably, Democrats did not show an in-party bias. Their punitive responses were consistent regardless of the party's affiliation. And this has been a big problem we've been seeing playing out live over the past decade. You remember Mitch McConnell saying we can't do a Supreme Court justice in an election year when it was a Democratic president. When it was Republican, all of a sudden it was like, well, we got a duty to do our job.
We could, yeah.
Their values
shift. Everybody was like, yeah, do it.
Their values shift with the moment, and they shift with the details. They have no concrete values, and all they do is talk about how they're the party of concrete values. And Amber, I was surprised to learn that our brother David, who is very right wing, was against Trump. But it occurred to me, pretty early on, somebody was telling me they were looking at social media.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and I think it's because he actually understands the values and tries to uphold the conservative values and these moral values. He's tracked, at least publicly, and he saw right away that this guy – doesn't matter that he's Republican. This guy goes against all of the moral values that he got ingrained.
Right.
The supposed moral values. Apparently, it doesn't matter if it's same team. It's like, oh, well, I mean, he can grab him by the pussy. It's okay. We've all kind of known it, but now we have actual data to back it up.
And that's crazy.
If you're Republican listening, I do hope you will start to see how valuable actual concrete values are, how necessary it is, and how it hurts you too. It hurts you, Republicans, to be this way. It's hurting
you. It really does.
Yeah.
Because you end up with bad leaders because you're not applying principles fairly and evenly.
That's some crazy, crazy stuff. I just, I want to believe there absolutely are. It's, you can't throw down a blanket statement, but in this day and age, we're seeing way too many that are like, I don't care that he cheated on his wife while she was pregnant. He's great.
Yeah.
Sent by God. I'm pretty sure Christians never aspired to that. And if a Democratic person did that, that wasn't related to their party. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd see right
through. It's just bonkers.
Really upsetting.
Well, it is, but there's nothing we can do about it other than
vote. We can vote.
We can vote.
We can vote. We can encourage people to really see, like, what are your values? What do you believe
have
in?
A,
what
have a,
you do?
A calm conversation.
Would you cheat on your spouse who's pregnant? Would you speak about women the way that he does, they do? Like, if you wouldn't do that, then why do you vote?
Why do you allow it in another who's a leader?
Right.
Gotta own
that. Making rules for our children.
Who would? Because I really do feel like most of the Trump supporters wouldn't actually act like him. I mean, some definitely do. Some definitely do.
We see the ones that do because it gets the traction.
Right.
Yeah,
the ones that are normal people, we don't see them. They don't go viral being weird,
right?
Right,
exactly. And like, if they would just think, put a little bit of thought into it, I think that they would realize that they're not supporting the best person.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I also feel like in our echo chamber society, and this is not just the Republicans. There's a lot of people that can't speak up and say they're voting against Trump. They can't.
Right. No. You'd be ostracized out of your community.
They'll get destroyed.
Right. They have family and community that they need to exist within.
It's the real problem with the echo chambers. And same thing, like if I hopped on Facebook and was like, hey, y'all, I changed my mind. I think Trump's the best fit for the country. How many of my lefty friends would immediately go on the attack?
But that would be the correct thing to do because we all know what a train wreck, a misogynistic asshat he is. So right? I'm just going to say you proved your own point.
Right?
It wouldn't be the best way to persuade me,
questioning your sanity.
Well, possibly. I have to put some thought into that one.
We would stage an intervention, Dan. We would stage an intervention. Don't worry.
We won't let you go down that path, Dan. It's okay.
We know it would be a sign that something has happened to you.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's move on. Let's talk about a different kind of bananas.
Yes. Another kind of banana.
We've got a big problem.
So what is
banana lovers have a big, big problem. Globally.
Sounds like it should be a joke in there.
I know, right? But it's all too real.
It's not funny.
Globally, we eat about 273 million bananas a day.
That's
a lot of bananas.
That's insane.
While there are about 1,000 or so varieties of banana, the Cavendish banana makes up about half of global production and consumption. So odds are, if you go to the grocery store buy bananas, you're getting a Cavendish banana.
There's types of bananas? You're blowing my mind, Dan.
Elizabeth and I were just talking about this yesterday. My daughter and I were talking about bananas and banana flavoring because she was talking about a drink at a local place here, a cocktail that makes a really yummy banana flavored whiskey drink. So,
okay.
Maybe they won't be able to much longer. Who knows?
Artificial banana will be all we'll know. There's a fungus. In the 50s.
Fungus.
There was a fungus in the 50s. And actually, Dad told me about this when I was a kid, Amber. The bananas he ate as a kid, he said that they were gone and that the bananas we eat now are a different kind of banana and that I would really love the original bananas before the fungus killed them off.
Did you poo-poo him and say that was just an old man reminiscing?
That's an old man's tale. No, I believed him. I was a kid. I believed everything my dad said. Why do you think I was a Republican in my early 20s?
Right? It's okay, we all were.
No, we weren't.
Not all of us. Well. The Leeson clan.
Anyway, bananas, had to be, fungus.
Leeson clan was its own echo chamber. You had to be.
Oh, for sure.
Believe me, you get attacked when you start going against the family line.
Sorry about that.
It was never from you. It was never from you. Anyway, the Gross Michael banana was the one. In the 50s.
Gross Michael.
Gross, G-R-O-S. Huh. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L. The Fusarium oxyporum fungus brought it to its knees. And they found that the Cavendish banana was resistant to the fungus. So they switched over to the Cavendish. Well, now, that same Fusarium oxysporum fungus is back, but in a far more virulent strain called the TR4 strain, and it's already been found in banana plantations in Asia, Australia, Africa, and South America, Latin America.
And they haven't figured out a way to fight it yet? If it was from the 50s, you would think they'd be fighting it.
The original fungus was from the 50s. Yeah, you would. And that's why they're like, well, maybe we can stop it this time. Right, we know a lot more. We know we've been studying this fungus, right? They don't actually. I mean, like any outbreak. There's no guarantee they can succeed. At least the banana trees can't deny the vaccine.
I see what you did there. Well played, Leeson. Well played. You're getting it, whether you like it or not.
The well done. Real problem is there's no straightforward path to something like a vaccine. They can develop things to interrupt how the fungus is breeding, right? They can like they want to develop a nitrous oxide scavenger to neutralize the burst of nitrous oxide that the fungus puts out that hurts the tree. So like then the tree can just live with the infection and not be killed by it. They want to try and we want to look into the molecular mechanisms of the fungus to try and disrupt that. They've got all sorts of avenues we can take, but they don't know if any of them will be done in time or be effective enough
to save it.
Because the fungus just persists in the soil. It's just so hard to get rid of. Yeah. So they're trying to
quarantine. That's crazy.
What does that mean? Like, if they can't quarantine it, if they can't control it, do we not have
it? Right now, it's a small problem, but if this grows. There's thousands of varieties. We don't know what we'll end up with, but bananas as we know it would change completely again 70 years later. Yeah.
So we'll be telling our not children, remember in the good old days, this was the banana.
Bananas I had as a kid
back
were
in
great.
My day.
Your bananas suck.
That wasn't even a real banana.
Maybe we'll get better bananas.
Banana cocktails in my day had real banana flavor. All right. Let's wrap up news real quick. I wanted to mention the asteroid that was responsible for wiping out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. Researchers from Europe and the U.S. have discovered that it formed beyond the orbit of Jupiter in an extremely cold region rich in water and carbon. They published these findings Thursday in the Journal of Science. It was a very, very wet, water-rich asteroid, almost like a giant mud ball. Asteroids that are formed in our solar system are very dry.
Okay. Did not know that.
So,
didn't either.
Yeah. The researchers managed to what were they down in the Yucatan Peninsula? They couldn't study a direct sample of the asteroid because it destroyed. But they did find a way to examine the dust from the impact. So using the layers of rock, they were able to be like, okay, no, this is the dust from the asteroid. So not only did it kill, here this is the crazy part. In the past 500 million years, they have not found another water-rich asteroid. This is the only water-rich asteroid to have hit the Earth.
What?
Wow.
And they have to be forming out there, right?
That's
this
crazy.
They know they form. Find us.
They just... Huh. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense in that the asteroids that form in this solar system are much more likely to hit us, right? The odds of something from a distant thing, it's... The spaces are so vast... shooting at something, the further away it is, the harder it is to hit. We all know that instinctively.
Exactly.
So think of it like that. Like it's really hard to hit us from so far away. So the fact that this giant mud ball did hit us, and it was the one that just wiped out the dinosaurs, is fascinating to me. Just phenomenal.
That's crazy. So had it not found us, dinosaurs would be ruling the world.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah,
thank goodness.
If ever
or we'd be living with them.
right. We certainly wouldn't have the technology we have. We would have underground hiding from dino technology.
But maybe they would be our friends. Maybe we would have domesticated.
Have you seen the teeth and claws on these things, Amber?
I think it's more likely they would have domesticated us.
As their food source, totally would have.
Yeah, we would be the little.
Yeah,
we're the little pets that they eat one every Christmas.
Oh, this one's cute. Maybe we could keep it as a pet.
Don't name it.
We'll pardon this one.
You're going to get too attached.
Yeah, don't name our food.
Totally.
All right. Let's talk about some snake oil.
Snake oil and bullshit, hopefully.
Right. Oh, snake.
Always.
on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
Okay, so strange things are afoot in Louisiana.
You don't say. Is it Bigfoot? Sasquatch.
I wish.
The Jersey Devil. I wish. No, that's B that Jersey.
It'd be a lot more fun if somebody was like selling fake Sasquatch hair or something. No. No.
Well, they probably are, but.
Business idea.
So there's a new statewide energy efficiency program that they're doing there to try and get houses and homes more efficient appliances and windows and, mm-hmm. and things to mm-hmm. save on their energy bills, right? So they're using less electricity.
Okay, valid goal.
Sounds great.
It's similar to many such programs. I know Nevada has one we took advantage of to get a smart thermostat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they just came in for free, gave us a $200 thermostat, and then like peak hours, nice. they'll take
they control it.
We'll eventually. I'm going to get out of that plan, especially when all our solar's up.
But anyway, not great when you're menopausal.
Oh, I bet.
Why is it so hot here? It's a great idea though, because at peak usage, if everybody can just 1 or 2 degrees hotter, it puts way less of a strain mm-hmm. on the energy grid.
Right.
Well.
Yes.
It seems that the state regulators are being pushed by the electric utilities, and it seems like they've got a really good chance of succeeding in adopting rules that will add a fee to not only to make up for the lost expenditures from being more energy efficient. Meaning, they're saying, look, Dan's spending $100 a month on electricity. You give him these energy efficient appliances. Mm-hmm. Now he's only spending $65. We just lost $35 a month. So we would like fees to make that up. And this is what they're developing.
What a scam. Yeah.
And, I hate this
and
shit.
This, horrible.
They're also adding another fee so that everyone else pays for the energy efficient stuff.
Fuck
like
off.
Like they're going to amortize everybody's efficient oven over everybody's electric bill so they don't have to pay anything.
Fuck.
And then they make
bullshit.
The same money selling less power. Yeah, yeah. Strange
that's
things are afoot in Louisiana.
So government.
This is why local politics matters. Vote, vote, vote.
Yes.
Vote. Seriously.
Get out that fucking vote. That's
awful.
Just ridiculous.
Awful.
And it's interesting to me, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a diatribe here, because there are certain politicians out there saying that we have to have kids and babies, okay? Mm-hmm. Great. You think we should all have kids and babies, and if you don't, you're not contributing, you shouldn't have a vote and all this stuff. You do have kids and babies, and they're going to inherit the earth. And what are you leaving them? Boggles my freaking mind that we can have somebody out there saying, never abort, bring up all your babies, everyone babies, and then let's leave them a shit earth. I don't care. Mm-hmm. My children are going to have lots of money until they die because we're apocalyptic and so annoying. You would think these guys would be going for a better future.
You'd think.
I honestly think that that's, you know, like they just can't look that far in the future. They're so
I think they just want more money
and focused on, yeah, well, I mean that too, but they're just so focused
when is
on
enough
what's
money
best
enough?
For them that they don't care what's going on with anybody else.
For instance, Elon Musk wants to populate the world. He's got how many children, illegitimate children, whatever the fuck is going on with him. He's got all the money to make all this better. And the best he could do right now is make a bunker in some island somewhere. Really? I just don't get it.
So many billionaires in this world that could, if they would just give just
the kids would be better off.
Little bit, the whole world would be better.
It's a bit of a tangent, but legit, like Elon Musk is a good example. He started testosterone replacement therapy.
Oh, Jesus.
As a rich man. After he did Tesla, like we all saw the switch. We all saw Elon Musk go from a guy like, hey guys, our planet's in trouble, to this weird fucking cult of Elon guy. What happened? He started testosterone replacement therapy. He went through a second puberty and just started banging everyone who was willing, and had to come up with a way to justify that. So in his head, oh no, I'm doing this because I'm a morally righteous person. That's my image and identity.
Yeah, well, if you were, you would save their planet.
Well, that used to be where he was at before he had second puberty. Yeah. And he's not the only
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a legit thing. It's a legit thing. As a man in his 40s whose testosterone is declining, like, I understand the desire.
Oh, you're fine, baby. You're
right.
Fine.
No, absolutely. Get the desire, but it's interesting how it's affecting
The testosterone, it's the energy level, like you're talking about with menopause, darling. Like, your energy goes down.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, I used to have all this energy. Well, if I had TRT, you know, the testosterone replacement therapy, all boom, it would all be back. I'd be like a teenager again. Literally the energy levels of a teenager again. However, also the moody, angsty, emotional.
I couldn't keep up with you as a teenager.
I wish.
No.
I'd love to have some of my energy from back then, even with the angsty shit.
I don't know.
All right. Okay, let's keep the train moving. We got to get to some fact-checking time. Can we do some fact-checking time? I think it's time we do some fact-checking time.
We can do some fact-checking time.
I think we better get it done.
Also, guys, clap your hands, do whatever. Dan, I gotta start getting ready for work. Amber, I'm so sorry. I didn't plan this, I swear. Poncho Cat is definitely looking at you.
Yeah. Jamie Lynn hopping off again right before fact checking time. I see
you
how you are.
It's a thing.
I see how you are.
I have a standard up soon too. I have a bed being delivered, so whatever. Oh, but you go get ready for work.
Fact checking time. It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the proof that all the kids call fact checking time.
All right, welcome to Fact Checking Time, the new show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story, something that happened on the internet, and something that the media actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. We're here in the Half Cocktails Lounge with Amber in the hot seat today. Amber, you're playing for Poncho Cat, the co-host of Half Cocktails New Shorts, and whether you win or lose decides if he gets wet or dry food for dinner tonight. So let's get to the game. I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media, on the internet in some way, but only one of them has been fact-checked. These might be articles. They might be social media posts. They might be television interview quotes. They might be magazine interview quotes. They might be interview quotes, but only some of them were fact-checked. You're going to have 1 minute to ask me questions about the story. Are you ready to go?
Let's do this. I don't know if I'm ready or not, but...
All right. Either a mayor in Georgia was stashing booze in a ditch for the state prison work crew to drink. Or there's a pub in Lincolnshire, England that sells a beer called Osama bin Lager.
Oh my god.
Your 1 minute begins.
And which
now.
One of these was fact checked? Okay, how long have they been selling this lager?
Yeah, they started 3 months ago.
Okay. And where was the mayor and the alcohol in the ditch again? What location?
That was a town, Thompson, Georgia, small Georgia town.
Thompson, Georgia. Okay. As far as which would be fact checked, I think they're going to fact check the lager.
Osama bin Lager? That is correct.
Woohoo!
In Lincolnshire, England, that was Snopes fact checked it, and it's true.
Nice.
They do sell Osama bin Lager.
That's hilarious. I might have to start drinking beer.
Right? It's got a little cartoon caricature of him on the beer keg and the beer tap.
That's really clever.
Right?
Oh, funny. So, Georgia guy, was he really hiding? Like, do we know?
Yes, it was just a story. Georgia Mayor Benjamin Benji Cranford, indicted on last Wednesday and arrested by Georgia Bureau of Investigation agents. Yeah. He drove to the store, bought a bottle of Seagram's gin, and then left it in a ditch where the work crew prisoners were going to find it.
What a nut job. That's hilarious.
I mean, why?
Why do we have all this sudden interest in working on the work crews? I don't know, boss.
Right.
Like
right.
All of a sudden they have more people applying.
All right. So one.
I want to go on the work crew. All right. Woohoo. One down.
Next question. Either. Researchers estimate that if the top 1% of Americans paid the full amount of taxes they owed, it would raise $175 billion a year. Or Warren Buffett, talking about class warfare, said, "It's my class, the rich class, making war, and we're winning." Which got fact-checked.
Got it. Oh, they're both so true. Which one would be fact-checked? When did Warren Buffett say that quote?
2006, an article in the New York Times. He was being interviewed by actor and economist Ben Stein from Win Ben Stein's Money.
I remember who Ben Stein is, yes. Okay, Warren Buffett. What was the other one again?
Top 1% of Americans actually paid the full amount of taxes owed. It would bring in an extra $175 billion a year.
Okay. I am going to
12 seconds.
Say that they fact checked the Warren Buffett story.
That is correct. That is correct. Two for two. Poncho.
Oh my gosh.
She's already got
it. So much pressure this game, I swear.
Bonus points. Was it true, false, or mixed?
I'm going to
really say that.
I'm going to say true.
It is true. And the context, Buffett was asking, how can this be fair? How can this be right? Buffett wasn't bragging.
Right.
My class is winning.
He wasn't bragging. He was trying to point out that
he was very much admitting.
You shouldn't be doing this.
The rich is the ones making the war and they're winning.
He's not wrong.
No.
All right, Poncho.
Last question. This is a doozy.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Lay it on me. All right. Hit me.
Either.
Not really.
Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz got his stomach pumped after a neighborhood dare gone wrong. He ended up with horse semen in his stomach. Was that fact check? Or people are buying and carrying J.D. Vance family kit sperm cups. At
oh my god,
MAGA rallies.
Oh my god,
there are cups with his face on it. They say
question. When
JD Vance full family.
I totally.
Oh, you don't need a visual
sadly,
on the sperm cup.
I believe that. I don't even need to fact check that one. I just believe it outright.
You just believe it. Yeah.
So, Walz, how old was he when this happened?
This would have been 1995, so he would have been in his 30s, late 30s.
30 years ago. Okay. Was he aware of what he was ingesting?
Yeah, it was a dare.
It was a dare. Okay, so they dared him. He knew what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, that's just too funny. And he had to. Why did he have to get his stomach pumped? Because it's horse semen, or was there like a reaction or something?
Yes, medical experts warned that it could lead to health complications and mess up his gastrointestinal tract. Okay.
It was like, dude, that was stupid.
He started getting stomach aches, abdominal distress, and they made a call. Okay. And they were like, yeah, you should come in and get your stomach
I'm going to say that was fact-checked.
The Tim Walz story.
The Tim Walz story is the fact-checked story.
That is correct. Now, for bonus points,
was it true,
false, or mixed?
I'm going to say
true,
mixed.
False, or mixed?
I'm going to say
no,
mixed.
Amber, that was straight up false. That was straight up false. Never
was
happened.
Oh.
It's fake news.
I thought maybe there was a dare, but it wasn't horse semen.
Right. It was like, eat all these wings. And he's like, okay. No, somebody
that
made
would be
a fake,
more unbelievable. That's
they
fade, so funny.
Made a fake newspaper article from 1995, and it's been going around
love
the internet.
It. Because if they have to make up shit, that means that they can't find shit.
Right.
I love
While
that.
The J.D. Vance full family kit sperm cups are indeed being seen at rallies.
Absolutely. Like, I didn't doubt it for a second.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Well done on a shutout. 3-for-3. Poncho, you are getting... You're getting some extra treats tonight,
buddy.
Watch out,
Ron, the geologist, apologist. I'm coming for your title.
That's right. All right, everybody. We hope you had a good time. Maybe learned a thing or two. I know I did. We encourage you. Reach out to us always. You know, you can find us, havecocktails@gmail.com. Send us a message, 443-499-8253. Fantastic. All right. Till next time, keep your facts straight. It's time to talk about some feel-good news.
Woo-hoo. Yes. Yes, I mean, I'm already feeling good now because I just...
A gulp or a sip, maybe even a hit, and join us for Half Cocktail Good.
Okay, so fantastic. Fantastic news. Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which passed in the Senate after a tie-breaking vote that Kamala Harris passed the tie-breaking vote on, because that's a big part of what the vice president does, is breaks a tie in the Senate. That act passed, and they just finished renegotiating drug prices for the Medicare system. It's going to save $1.5 billion in out-of-pocket costs for seniors. Just alone. Wow. And on top of that, the Medicare system is going to save about $6 billion in those drug prices over the next year.
Fantastic.
It's such a big win.
About time.
Yeah. For example, a Medicare person who takes Stelara for arthritis, they pay right now $3,460 for a 30-day supply.
Oof. Fuck.
Now, once this goes into effect, they're only going to pay $1,174.
Wow. I mean, still fuck, but wow, that's a huge change.
Countries, and this is a big reason why we don't have socialized Medicare medicine in this country, is we've got all of these drug companies and healthcare companies that are going to lose a lot of their profit. They're going to lose a lot of their profit. We see all these same drug companies will sell these drugs for less in Europe and Canada. We know that. They're already doing it. They just make less money, but they're so fucking greedy.
Right.
That the government actually has to force them through these negotiations to be like, no, we're not going to pay that much for that drug anymore. Okay, fine. We'll make less money.
Right.
I think the biggest in your face example
is it's all corporate greed. Like, they don't need to be pricing these drugs as high as they do. I mean,
I'll never
understand,
forget,
like,
Farmer Bro.
The drug is new. Absolutely. It's just upsetting, especially when it's life-saving drugs, like insulin, you know, something that you're not going to live if you don't get it. And the fact that they can charge jacked up prices because they know people have to buy it is so morally repulsive.
That's exactly what Farmer Bro did. I think he almost did a service by being so evil, because he brought it to light. He bought a drug company that owned the patent to a life-saving drug, and was like, well, if they want to save their lives, yeah, they'll pay eight times as much. And he just jacked up the price. He's like, I own the drug.
It's absolutely
what
disgusting.
Are they gonna do? Yeah. Right. For-profit healthcare is not good, in my opinion. It's not good for society.
No.
It's not good for healthcare. It's not good for people.
It's not. It's so wrong. But hey, we're making progress. Thank you, Kamala Harris, and the rest of our representatives for actually representing us.
We're actually trying to help us. Yeah, fantastic. All of these drugs going down. The different Flasp, Flex Touch, Penfill, Novolog, diabetes treatment stuff. I'm looking at the chart here.
Yeah.
785,000 Medicare enrollees who used it in 2023 for a 30-day supply is $500. Starting in 2026, these new negotiated rates, it's going to be 119.
Wow.
76% savings with diabetic drugs. 66% savings for Stelara for psoriasis and arthritis and Crohn's disease. 38% savings on Imbruvica for blood cancer. Different kind of arthritis drug. Enbrel, 67% savings. It's just big, huge cuts.
I, for one, am
really, really, really happy to see this.
For sure.
That gets us a step closer
in the right direction
to people getting the drugs they need is just beautiful, and not bankrupting them. GoFundMe shouldn't be doing most of our health costs.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, can you imagine if some of those richest people in our country actually just bought people's medications? They wouldn't even see their money go away. They wouldn't even know that they don't have that $1 billion, but $700 billion.
How else are they going to feel special?
Oh, well.
Without their money.
Oh, well, I mean, they could feel special for helping people.
That's easy for you
but
to say.
Anyway.
You don't have any money. You're not special.
It's very true. And I have even less after moving this weekend.
right.
Speaking of moving.
Sadly, like all good things, the show has to come to an end. Before we go, I'd like to thank Happy Fun Ball. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, please seek shelter and cover your head with your arms. Looks like we don't have any time left for that easy trick florists use to get out of parking tickets that makes cops so furious they shake their fists at the sky and say, why? Sorry, folks, that's on me, that we don't have that time. I do need to give a quick shout out to Science, Congeniality, and The Social Contract, things that just have been making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Amber, any final words, thoughts, or phrases before we say goodbye today?
Yes, don't get struck by lightning.
Yeah, I heard that's what killed Genghis Khan.
That's my advice for the week.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's a true story.
Have a wonderful day, everybody. If you had a good time with us, you know what to do. Tell somebody that you think would have fun hanging out with us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, come show some love over at the halfcocktails.com/shop. All sorts of amazing, awesome branded merchandise. We also have a Patreon set up. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But for now, thanks for stopping by and go out. Be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. ain't adjuration. We're just leaving half-cocked.